for me that God would get me through it, and I'll pray for you that God would let you bear with it. Amen. And we're thankful for you to be here this morning. Turn your Bibles into Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. And if you don't know what Proverbs 31 is, it's a passage of scripture, and the latter part of it deals with a godly woman, the image and the picture and a description of just an absolute phenomenal woman. And I think we have a lot of those women in our church and in our lives, and we ought to be thankful that God has allowed us to know these women. And God willing, tonight, if I have enough voice left and I'm able, I'm going to preach on the Proverbs 31 woman tonight. Amen? But I'm just going to use a verse here. I'm not going to read a whole lot of scripture this morning just because of the way I sound. But I'm going to read a verse here, and I'm going to use it as a springboard to look at some mothers. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, a praiseworthy mother. Amen? A praiseworthy mother. I want you to stop and to think about that, Mom. Think about that young lady, as you know that one day you're going to grow up and become a mother. I want you to think about that, men, as you look at your wife and you realize her value, and you realize the blessedness that God has given you, and given you a helpmeet and, you know, a partner in life. And I want you to think about that young man as you prepare and as you look to growing up one day and starting a family of your own. A praiseworthy mother. The Bible says here in Proverbs 31, in verse number 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. A praiseworthy mother. She's acknowledged and she's lifted up in word by her children. She's acknowledged and she's praised by her husband. And I tell you what this world needs today is some more godly, praiseworthy mothers. Amen. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? I think one of the things that makes a praiseworthy mother is found in verse number 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. You know, we got a lot of women today that they're striving to get acknowledgement, and they're striving to have people just see them for who they are. They want to strut around, and they want folks to clamor after them and just to make after them and just to lift them up for who they are and for what they've done. And they want people to say, to look at me, how beautiful I am. Look at me, how, and I'll tell you what, it does get really pathetic at some point. And I'm going to say this, and I don't say it to hurt anybody's feelings. But, you know, I see some women who are way on up in age. Amen. I've seen some women who just haven't got over being a teenager. And they need to stop being a teenager and start to be the woman that they are. Amen. And acting like the age they are and quit trying to impress everybody. Let's face it, ladies, we grow old. Beauty is fleeting. You know, we're not going to be 18 forever. But praise God, my wife is still as beautiful to me as she was the day I married her. Amen. And your wife ought to always be that way. But to carry that beauty, you need to do so accordingly and quit trying to lift yourself up and to puff yourself up. I'm glad she goes and takes care of things. You know, Brother Buford Hash used to say, a little bit of paint never hurt any old barn. Amen. And that's still true. You know, it don't hurt to fix yourself up and to try keep yourself in an attractive manner. Amen. A little paint never hurt any old barn, and it's never going to hurt you. And praise God, I'm glad for that. I'm glad my wife takes care of herself, and she tries to look attractive, and she's attractive to me. Praise her, but she don't rely on that. I think when people think about my wife, I want them to think about a godly woman. That's more important to me. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. I tell you what, I'd rather have a godly woman than a beauty queen any day. Amen. I'd rather have a godly woman than a woman that is so caught up in herself anyway. Amen. That's much more important. I want to look, as I said this morning, and preach on this thought, a praise-worthy mother, and look at some women throughout the Word of God who I believe, if her children could speak about their mom, I would speak some words of praise. If their husbands could tell you something about their wife, they would have some words of praise to lift up about her, not because of her beauty, so to speak, not because that she seeks everybody's favor, but praise God because she loves the Lord and she fears Him. In the book of Exodus, in chapter number 2, we're introduced to a mother by the name of Jochebed. She was the mother of a man who grew up to be used mightily of God. But in her day, there rose up a king in Israel that didn't know Joseph. There rose up a king, in Egypt. There rose up a king in Egypt that seen the Hebrews as a plight upon the land, God's chosen people. There rose up a king who gave the command to drown the male children when they come forth, to kill them and to destroy them, that they might abate the reproduction, they might abate the bloodline. They might abate the problem that they seen in these people. And friends, I want you to know something. Jochebed had a child, and by law and under decree, she was supposed to have drowned it, her child, her infant baby, when it was born. But praise God, I'm glad there was a woman one day. I'm glad there was an individual who was willing to stand up and say, I'm not going to go with the way the crowd goes. I'm not going to go the way the rest of the world goes. She said, I'm going to choose to trust God. I'm going to choose to raise my child. We live in a day when moms, I should say a lot of young women, and please don't think I'm preaching from a platform of hate. I don't preach hate. I preach from a platform of love. I don't preach from a platform of driving people away. I preach from a platform of reconciliation with God. Amen. I want you to understand that. We live in a day and in a time when millions and millions and untold millions of unborn children are being murdered each day. Just so mom won't be inconvenienced. Just so a woman won't have to deal with the problem. And friends, I want you to know something. There are so many women in our country. There's women in our churches that have been misled and they've been miscounseled and they've been misguided into thinking that this is the right course of action to take. You see, they only ever get to hear one side. They only ever get to hear one part of the story. They only ever get to hear the bad side because no one's allowed to tell them about what Jesus can do. No one's ever allowed to counsel with these mothers, these women who are contemplating taking this horrible, troubling, misguided step and being told, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And He will help you. They're saying, you can't do this. When I was 17, she was 18. I was home for 2 weeks. And in that 2 weeks, we had to wait for our wedding license. We had about 3 days we had to wait for the wedding license. And then I think I got here on a Wednesday. We got married on a Sunday, wasn't it? Something like that. I graduated boot camp, flew out of boot camp, got here. She got pregnant. We were going to wait a few years, maybe even after I got out of the Navy, 4 years before we started our family. She got pregnant on our honeymoon. Roe versus Wade had just been passed. When she flew out to meet me in Chicago, where I was in Great Lakes in north of Chicago there, when she flew out to be with me while I was going to school, she began to get sick, and she began to experience something she hadn't known before. She didn't know what it was and found out she was pregnant. Got pregnant on her honeymoon. God had other plans. God knew the need greater than we did. And when she went to the doctor and they told her she was pregnant, the doctor says, you need to have an abortion. You can't deal with this. You're too young to have this. You need to have an abortion. She said, I can't and I won't and I wouldn't. He said, I want to talk to your husband. It's not fair. It's not fair for him to make you go through this. It's not fair to put yourselves through this. Look how young you are. Look how vulnerable you are. You don't need this. And he said, I'm going to talk to your husband. And he come out to get me. And he said, your wife is pregnant. And I went, and he said, there's no need talking to him. Amen. That's as far as it went. Amen. He said, there's no need talking to him. But nobody ever told us that God will be there to help you. No one was there to tell us that if you would trust the Lord, that he would help you to raise up this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. There wasn't nobody there to tell us anything but that we needed to destroy this life. And that's what young ladies are going through today. I want you to know something. I'm glad that Jochebed chose to trust God and chose to turn her child over to him. Lady, let me tell you, if you're here today and you've been down that route, you followed that road, you can still trust God. You can still trust the Lord. I believe that unborn child. I believe that infant baby who's not come to the age of accountability, that doesn't know the difference between good and evil, is in the presence of the Lord already. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Mama, today would be a great day. Today would be a great time to trust the Lord and trust the Lord to help you to be able to see your baby again. To trust the Lord to help you to be able to know that God is able and God will and God can. Jochebed chose to trust God and raise her son. She hid her son as long as she could. She put him in the basket. She had to trust him into God's care. I tell you, we've had everything that we could fit physically and feasibly work for, but we've had to trust our children unto the Lord. We've had to trust him to the hand of God and depend on God to meet the need. Friends, God will meet the need. And God can raise up out of what the world sees as a problem. Out of what the world won't even define as a human life. That which God has created, and do a mighty work through them. Trust God. And trust God when the world tells you you need to do this. Trust God when the world says you need to destroy. You need to think about putting your child away. You need to think about doing away with your child completely. Trust God. You say, preacher, I mean put my child away completely. Over in Holland, Up to the age of 5, now you can have a child euthanized. Did you know that? 30 years ago, I got in an argument with a guy at work about abortion, and he told me it don't make no difference anyway. I said, it does make a difference. I said, it's killing what God has created. The innocent. God said, we need to kill the murderer that sheds blood. God's commanded us to do that because he's guilty. But the world says, no, the man that has murdered, we must show compassion to him. But the unborn child, we must destroy. In our argument, I told the individual, I said, before long, and I think maybe it was one quite 30 years ago, they were talking about partial birth abortion. That's what it was. And to me, that's nothing more than murder. That's a child that has come to full birth, full term. They let the head of the baby be born. And then they kill the child. That's nothing more, nothing short of murder in any sense of the word. But yet we'll do that to an innocent child and say that it's wrong to execute the individual who has murdered, who has willingly taken a life. And now laws are passed. And I told the individual, I said, the day will come when you'll be able to have a child euthanized. Ah, that's just crazy. I said, well, when abortion started, it was only allowed to happen in the first trimester. I said, then it was extended to the second trimester. Now we're arguing about letting a child come the full term and before the whole body is out of the womb, murdering the child. We've got to that place. Then we were just talking about it as we were arguing. Now we're here to that place now. Now in Europe, they're allowing children up to the, I think it's 5 years of age. If you deem the child has a problem and you want to have the child euthanized, you can have the child euthanized. Isn't that the next logical step in the progression of the sin here in America? Jochebed was praised and is praiseworthy because she chose to go against what the norms were. She chose to go against what the whims and the wishes of the world were. She chose to make a stand when everybody else will say, let's do the convenient thing. Let's do what makes everybody happy. She said, no, I can't do that to my child. And God raised up this baby to be the deliverer of his people. God raised up her child, Moses, to be his mouthpiece. God raised up her child, Moses, to be the very one that got to stand in the presence of God and hear God give him the law through which we live. Oh, Jochebed is a praiseworthy mother because she chose to trust God rather than kill her child. She chose the right way. And friend, if you're here this morning and you have chose the wrong way, today would be a great time to choose the right way. There's forgiveness with the Lord. I'm glad he's a forgiving God. I'm glad he's full of mercy. I'm glad there's a time to start over. I'm glad there's a time when you'll be able, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, and maybe if you're here and you've taken that road to meet Jesus and to meet your child that you never got to know on this side. I'm glad with God there's reconciliation and there's restoration. I need to hurry. Spent more time there than I had intended. But I think it's something we skirt where, and I do, I worry about hurting people's feelings. But I'm worried more about your soul than your feelings. I'm worried more about you knowing the truth than to know the fallacies and the lies that you're handed in this world. The next mother I see and I think of as we thought about this message and as God laid it on my heart, he is the widow of Zarephath. When God told his man to go to Zidon, there's a widow there that I have prepared to take care of you and to sustain you in the time of this drought and this famine that's going to be in the land. You go and see her. And when Elijah got to Zarephath, he came into the city and he seen this woman, this widow woman, and she was getting ready to go in her house. She says, "Give me a drink." She said, "All right." And as she was going to get the drink, he said, "How about baking me a little cake too?" And she says, "Well, here's the problem. I can't do that." She said, "I've got just a little bit of meal. I've got these a couple of sticks." She said, I'm about ready to dress this. In other words, I'm going to mix this up. I'm going to start a little fire. I'm going to bake a little cake for me and my son, and we're going to eat it. And that's the last thing we got to eat, and we're going to die." And Elijah said, "Well, in that case, I want you to do this." He said, "I want you to bake me a cake first. Now listen, Mom, here's this man of God that's done come into your city. You've never seen him before. He says, I know you've only got enough for you and your son. But before you do that, I want you to make something for me." Now don't that sound crazy? My wife would have looked at him and said, "You're out of your mind. You think I'm going to take something out of my baby's mouth to give it to you?" And he says, "But listen to this." He said, "Hear the word of the Lord." He said, "God said that the meal will not diminish. The oil will not diminish. As long as this famine is in the land, you will always have enough. As long as this famine is flourishing and it is destroying and things are withering away and people are going hungry and people are dying," he said, "you will always have enough because the barrel won't run dry." And you know what she did? She did just what the man of God told her to do. She made the cake. Amen. She gave it to the man of God. And she says, "You know what? God has spoken. God has given his word. God has given his promise. And I'm going to take God at his word to meet the needs of my family." Amen. Let me tell you what. I've listened to more than one testimony of men and women who were raised up and were raised up in some poor and adverse conditions and gave witness to the fact that they had heard their mama praying, their mama asking God for their next meal, their mama asking God to supply the needs that they had. More than one time had heard their mother in the midnight hours saying, "God, I have nothing to feed my children with. Will you supply the need?" And the next day, praise God, they get a knock on the door and somebody's done met the need. I tell you what, I've told you this before. I'm glad God gave me a godly woman. And he gave me her because he knew I needed her. And sometimes when I had given up hope, she never had. Sometimes when I was trying to do it myself, she was trusting God. Amen. And she was willing to trust God. She loves me and she trusts me. But praise God, I'm glad she trusts God more than she trusts me. Amen. And she's willing to ask God for what we need. You know, we've always had our needs supplied. You hear what I said? Our needs. God said he would supply all our needs. Amen. Our problem is God supplies our needs, and we squander what he supplies to meet our needs on foolishness, and then we get mad at God because we don't have what we need to supply the need that we have. Amen. Man, I have been attacked for preaching about God's supply. I don't make any apology for it. Amen. God has always supplied. We didn't have money left over. We didn't spend money. You know, that's the first brand new automobile my wife has ever owned. First brand new car my wife has ever owned. And trust me, we tried to find a used one that wasn't already half wore out. Amen. We don't squander what God gives us, but we trust God to meet the need and to supply the need. That woman of Zarephath, she was willing to trust God. She was willing when the man of God came and told her what the word of God had said and what God was going to do. She chose to trust God to meet her needs. And then I see Elijah as he meets the woman, the wife, the widow of the prophet who had died. And she said, look, my husband, he was one of the prophets. He was one of the sons of the prophet. He was a preacher. He was a man of God. He stood for God. He stood for what was right in this world when everybody else is right. Him and Sister Mary start picking out a song.